This is Dr. Tim Turlop from Turlop Chiropractic, inviting you to join us every Wednesday morning for 30 Minutes to Vitality. Each week, we'll be addressing topics that are ultimately important to your health and to mine. Topics about prevention of disease, expressing greater well-being, more mobility, and vitality overall. Join us every Wednesday morning for 30 Minutes to Vitality.
And there we go. It is Wednesday morning, 11:35 now. We'll be here till the top of the hour at 12 o'clock. When I say we, I mean myself and Dr. Tim Turlop with Turlop Chiropractic. Of course, your 30 minutes to vitality, a chance for you to listen to what Dr. Tim Turlop has to share with us today. He's always bringing that information to us that's so important for our health. And he continues today with your 30 minutes to vitality, which begins now. Dr. Tim Turlop, just a reminder, we can open up the phone lines if you have a question. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. 352-796-7272 or 352-587-WXJB will get you through to Dr. Tim Turlop live in the studio with your question. Thank you, sir.
As long as nobody's asking about the meaning of life, which I can't answer. I'm delighted to answer.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, ask me after the show because I have a very brief answer.
All right. Okay.
All right. So good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes of Vitality, where we say every week we are built to be vital, have the gift of well-being. We just have one problem, and that's interference.
Yeah.
We're getting types of interference. We're either getting stuff that we don't need that we need to get rid of, or we ain't getting stuff that we need to add so that we can enjoy that expressive vitality that was just, it's there.
Yeah.
It's just there.
It is.
I mean, what's an interesting fact, we're going to talk a little bit today about one of the things about not just vitality, but longevity, right? So living longer. So, yeah. So there's a couple of recent studies that really, really highlight a couple of simple activities and measures that we can take that really extend the potential and the possibility of having a longer life with less chronic disease.
So we've heard quality of life versus quantity of life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, how about both?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. It's sort of like that old Deion Sanders commercial where he sat there with Jerry Jones. It was a Pizza Hut commercial. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you got the cheesy crust or you can have the this. And he goes, which one do you want? And he goes, well, I want both, coach.
Yeah. I want it all.
I want it all. Right. So when you can have that, right, we don't have to. Now, if I had to choose, if that was an actual choice, I would choose quality over quantity.
Yes.
Right?
Because
we talk about that at the office all the time because my goodness gracious, when we look at mobility and the ability to function, where people end up in walkers and wheelchairs and all kinds of stuff at 75 and they're going to live till they're 90 or 95, not a fun way to spend 15 or 20 years.
That's true.
Right? And so the way to actually to prevent that is to start earlier, and you don't have to live your life to try and get better life. It just becomes a part and parcel of what we do. Mm-hmm. There's one study that actually we'll get into three different studies today. Oh, we already have a call?
Yeah. Just throwing up a signal there for you if you're ready.
Holy cow.
Didn't want to cut
we
you.
We didn't even get into anything.
I know. I didn't want to cut you out or cut in or whatever you want to say.
Terrific.
Cut you off. But here we go.
Okay, great. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. This question has to do with some things that you've talked about in the past as far as vitamin supplements.
Okay, sure.
Like vitamin D.
Uh-huh.
How do I know when I buy the vitamins, like vitamin D, whether I'm buying good vitamins or not? And do you carry the good ones at your place of business?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. And one that a lot of us wouldn't think, right? Because we go to the shelf and you think, well, if I'm buying it there and it's on the shelf, it must be good, right? And it's a fabulous question. As a matter of fact, I used to say to people up until about 3 years ago, I'd say, with vitamin D, just buy it any place. There's certain vitamins that we carry at the office that I'm very specific on the laboratory from which we procure them so that we get them for our patients, really high quality stuff. But then research started showing even vitamin D supplements, I could say that it's a 2000 IU tablet and it would have 1200 or it would have 2800. It'd be a 5,000 unit tablet and it would actually have 3,200. You couldn't regulate what was actually in there. So indeed that we do now carry a very specific brand of vitamin D, divitamin D3 specifically. And it's actually, we know that when we have a 1,000 unit tablet, that's what it is. When it's 2,000, that's what it is. When it's 5,000, that's what it is. So yeah, we do carry them at the office and we don't have to worry because when we do then the blood tests, we can make sure that when I dose you, or dose someone else, and we're trying to achieve a certain level in the blood, the reason why we will know, be able to predict when you're going to get there based on knowing you're getting the correct dosage that we need to get you. So it's a great question.
Okay. That's okay for me right now because I live in the area.
Yeah.
But I plan on moving across the country.
Okay.
In a few years.
Yes.
How can I know when I move somewhere else that what I'm getting is good stuff and not junk?
Well, one of my favorite.
I mean, is there something I can look at that label
and say,
"Oh, this is what I'm looking for right here"? Or look at this other label and say, well, it don't even have the stuff that they said I need.
Right, correct. And actually, one of the ways to do that is actually just know the laboratory. There's nothing on the bottle that will tell you that. But one of my favorite laboratories, and for vitamin D, one of the great ones is Metagenics.
Metagenics.
Yep. Okay. And what we're going to have within the next, I think they said less than 2 weeks, we'll actually even be able to, purchase that. We'll ship it anywhere in the country right from the website. It doesn't matter whether you're in Constantinople or in New York City. You can order it right from the website and it'll come right to your door with no problem.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
All right.
How about Ikanema? The lady from Ikanema, right?
You know what? Unfortunately, we don't ship there. Hit the one place.
And, buy one, get one free. You get what you pay for.
So, unfortunately, that's really true. It really is true. There are some, people would, especially with omega-3s, would come in and say, oh, wow, I actually bought this, and I won't mention names.
Right.
And I could actually get this many tablets for this much, and it literally was half the cost of yours for twice as much. And I go, you know what? I couldn't even buy mine for the cost that you did that at cost.
Yeah.
You're getting junk. Mm-hmm. It's junk. So that's why we make sure that the stuff that we have is really high potency. So it does what we say it'll do, right? Because you have to make sure that we know the research is there, we have to have pharmaceutically grade distilled or pure stuff. So we know exactly what we're getting is what we're getting, and we can predict the outcome, which is, it was a great question.
Sounds great to me. Great answer.
So when we're looking at this longevity thing, with that, one of the things that we want to look at, and we've talked about before in the past, about movement, about exercise, about activity, right, and how that relates. Well, there's some recent studies that have been published in the last couple of months that just really, really highlight this. And one of the ones came out of Cleveland Clinic, and it was a very long study. 15, 20 years. And what was really, really interesting is you could say, I'm a 55-year-old guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if they actually started doing certain types of physical exercise testing on me, they'd look at something called my physiologic age, not my chronological age, right?
Never thought of that.
And so there's actually, we look at how well you're able to perform and base that on a physiological age. And physiological age was actually able to predict longevity significantly more than how old you actually are.
Sign me up.
How old you are has not as nearly as much to do with how long you're going to live versus how physiologically old you are. So they would do stress tests and they'd do other stuff and they'd monitor someone's physiologic age and they watch them over the course of 20 years. And as I said, it was a big study. It's probably 125,000 people who participated over this long period of time. And we're able to find, the reduction in death rates for the people who had a lower physiological age, they could become much older chronologically, but their physiological age was much lower and they would continue to live and live well.
That's why I'm saying, sign me up.
Based on activity, right? So that was really interesting. And that was just published in the last couple of months, from Cleveland Clinic. And there was another huge study that was published in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology. Say that fast three times.
No, thank you.
Okay. But this one was published and it looked at just activity level. So they would monitor a much smaller study. It was 8 or 10,000 people. And say they had these people and they would monitor them again for 15, 20 years. And they would look at their activity. They had surveys and they did stuff and they'd actually send them home with fitness monitors that they would wear for 4 days at a time during different intervals of the study and blah, blah, blah. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they monitored how much activity, not that they were necessarily going to Planet Fitness or the Y or to Anytime Fitness and going to the gym and hopping on a treadmill and getting on the ellipse or doing whatever it would be, just moving.
Mm.
And how much that activity level during the course of a day would affect longevity. And this will just, I read the study twice when I first got exposed to it because I was like, you're kidding, right? It was amazing. So during any given day, rather than sitting on my frumpus, if I just move. I mean, it wasn't about putting on my gym shorts and going crazy. Just move. walking up and down the hall here at the studio.
The stairs?
Or, up and down the stairs, going to my car at the house, you know, washing the windows.
The mail.
Standing at the sink doing the dishes, going to get the mail, taking the garbage can out. Yeah. You know, the stuff you do.
That's right.
Right? But it's amazing because we have so many devices these days. A dishwasher, right? It cuts that job. I mean, my mom would say, wow, she spent a lot of time every day standing at the sink washing dishes because we didn't have a dishwasher when I was a boy, right? So it would take her an hour after dinner, you know, to wash the dishes, wash the pots, the pans. Of course, I did all the drying, and to do that, it was a lot of it, just standing there and moving her arms and scrubbing and washing and doing. It was an hour of standing and moving her arms. That's activity. And so this study actually looked at this, and if I substitute 30 minutes of just moving, it will reduce my risk of dying from anything by 17%.
Wow.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Just moving.
From anything.
I didn't have to have a gym membership.
That's right.
Just move. Right? And if you take that from that just mild nothing activity, just being up and not on my frumpus.
Uh-huh.
Right? This is a nice way of saying my derriere, right?
Right.
Right?
Frumpus.
My frumpus, right? So sorry. Sorry, old family word, right? But as we do that, you take that from just mild activity to getting to moderate activity, right? So now I'm going to go for a walk, and I deliberately move for a period of same 30 minutes, but now I'm actually making sure I'm not just standing. I'm not just walking to the mailbox. I'm doing anything. I'm going to double that, or should I say reduce it by 50, 100% more. I don't know which way you want to say that, but it takes it to 35% reduction in death from anything. So that's death from cancer. That's death from cardiac disease. That's death from Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. That's death from anything, right, is reduced by 35% if I just move moderately for 30 minutes. Wow.
Yeah.
Right. And if you take that up even higher, it ratchets it up even more. You can literally reduce your risk of death by 50%.
We can actually turn back time.
You know what? There is some evidence that some of that can be done. Because if I haven't done anything and I start exercising when I'm 63 years old and I've been a sedentary guy, maybe I work 10 hours a day sitting at a desk, didn't exercise in the morning, didn't do anything, but I just sat at my desk working hard, you know, doing my work. But didn't do anything. And I said, you know what? I now I'm getting near retirement. I don't want to die. I don't want to be sick. Right? Starting that exercise plan, you can turn back the ravages that you've created in a significant way. Completely? No. But can you significantly turn that around so you get more years with less sickness? Absolutely.
Yep.
It's really exciting. There's another one that came out of Harvard. I think it was in February. And some published in some weird journal, forgive me, I can't remember the name, doesn't really matter. Right, but this Harvard study was looking at, and this is kind of an interesting thing. It was, again, another 10-year study. And they were looking at guys who actually have a high-stress job. The other two were actually extrapolated to both men and women, right? So they looked at men and women in both of those other studies, right? So from the Preventive Cardiology Journal and from the one from Cleveland Clinic, went to the guys and gals. This one actually, unfortunately, just looked at guys.
Okay.
But again, based on those, you could extrapolate it to include girls. Okay. Interesting stuff, because they wanted to say, how do we actually look at cardiac risk, cardiovascular disease risk, and from cardiac event? So we have stress tests. We have thallium stress tests. We have echocardiogram. We have all these tests to look at your risk of cardiac risk for disease.
Right.
Okay. And having a cardiac event. How about if we could actually do that with a significantly high degree of reliability, with something, a form of movement and exercise that is so stupid that you'd go, nah, come on, really? It's absolutely true. Push-ups.
Really?
Yes. So Harvard said, let's look at the push-ups and see what the heck, if it's predictive of anything, because a couple of the guys there apparently were fit and loved doing push-ups and felt like, you know, they always had mental clarity, and their general sense of fitness would actually correlate with how well they were able to perform their push-ups. And so they extracted, well, we've got these other forms of fitness that show us longevity. I wonder if push-ups would actually be predictive. And as a matter of fact, for cardiac disease risk, it was unbelievable over the course of this decade-long study. So if at the beginning of the study, a guy could actually, and it's so funny how they did it. I won't get into all the details, but they were using metronomes and timing all this stuff, right?
Right.
And they actually found that if somebody could perform 40 consecutive push-ups in about 80 seconds or less, so in a minute and a half, being able to do 40 push-ups, which for anybody who's got a reasonable degree of fitness, you know, 40, 45 seconds is pretty much, you could do 40, right? If you actually are in any degree of fitness, right? But if you could do it in 80 seconds, right, depending, right, of 40 push-ups versus the guy who could do 10 or less, right? And that would happen to a lot of guys. Go try to do 10 push-ups.
It'd be me.
And you get to 3 and I'm done.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the guys who could do these 40 push-ups were 96% less likely to have a cardiac episode.
Goodness gracious.
Than the guys who could do 10 or less.
Wow.
96% less. Now, that's if I round up, right?
Uh-huh.
That's nearly eliminating the risk of cardiac disease incidents, of having an episode.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Nearly eliminating it if you could do 40 consecutive push-ups during an 80-second period of time.
At any given time, or is it daily or weekly or monthly? If you could do that.
They were looking at it then.
Right.
They check them again in 5 years. They check them again after a decade, right? The guys who could do it actually literally almost eliminated the risk.
I got you.
Of cardiac disease.
Okay.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Is that huge or is that huge? Now, it was funny. We talk a lot of the other time about how we actually have the choices and that our health is in our hands. We've gotten, I love the word responsibility, because if you break it down and say it's response, ability, I've got the ability to respond. That's in my hands, right? To be able to do that, to move just a little bit, maybe to move moderately, or maybe then to start doing some push-ups, and maybe I can only do 2. But I promise you, just about anybody over the course of a couple months could develop the ability to do that, right? You go from 2 and you do that for, you know, several days and you go to 3, then you go to 4, then you go to 8. Then all of a sudden you're at 15 in 3 weeks, and then you're at 25 in 6 weeks, right? And you get to 40 and you go, I can do that.
That's right.
Now I can do that, right? And I can say, honestly, it wasn't, you know, a couple decades ago, I couldn't do it. I can do it now and have been for a long time, thank God, right? But it was just, wow. That's something else, and that's our ability to be able to do that, right? It's not something, heart disease, it runs in my family, because guess what? These guys were high-stressed guys. They were firefighters and EMS guys who were rocking and rolling in high-stress jobs, right? And they nearly eliminated the risk of cardiovascular disease. And they were not looking at how they ate. They were not looking at their smoking risk. They were not looking at all these other stuff. It was, can you do push-ups?
Incredible. Yeah.
Right. And the other one, just moderate activity instead of sitting and just get up and do something for 30 minutes and reduce my risk of dying from anything by 35%. Wow. That's huge. And these aren't small little studies where they're looking at 126 people for 2 years, right? They're looking at tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people for decades, right? And able to show this. It's an amazing, amazing thing. But there's something I like to say with patients as well, because I have some patients, and I'm thinking of one professional who just said it to me a couple of weeks ago. He's fit, looks fantastic. Guy's probably 66, 67 years old. Mm-hmm. He looks amazing. Can do whatever he wants. He's flexible, all that kind of stuff. And I made the comment. He says, he said, when I exercise, because I do all this stuff, he said, I can pretty much eat whatever I want then, because I exercise is really nice. And there's an expression, and I said it to him. I said, you know what? You can't out-exercise your diet. You can't out-exercise what you eat.
Okay.
Right? The exercise will help a significant amount, but that doesn't mean that I can have a slice of cheesecake.
Oh, right. I got you.
Right? Every single night and a bowl of M&Ms.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can't out-exercise that. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen. Right? So it's a bundle of stuff. Right, that we look at. And people say, well, exercise, this seems like crazy. Well, you not really. Like I mentioned with my mom, or if I bring up my grandma Anna again, just doing the laundry for my grandma. I used to help her sometimes when I was a wee little lad. Uh-huh. Right. And I mean, she actually had a washing machine, But her dryer was that squeezy thing that would crank it through with the tight little rollers, and she'd take it and she'd crank and crank the laundry out, and she'd be scrubbing stuff by hand and crank the laundry thing and put it up on the line, and it would go up out of her basement on this line. She had this line that would go up into the backyard out into the sunshine, and she'd pull the lines. I mean, it took her hours every day. She spent 2 to 3 hours a day working her hiney off doing the laundry. It wasn't like, you know, nowadays, you know, one of my kids, I'm going to say, do your sheets. Ah, Dad, I don't have to do the laundry. And you go, really?
Yeah.
You're throwing it into a machine, hitting a button. When that's done, you throw it into another machine and hit another button. And you're going to call that work? Are you kidding me? Shut up and get busy.
Mm.
Right? So you look at my grandma Anna, how she, what it took for her to do sheets. And that the size of that, I still remember her putting sheets or blankets, heaven forbid, through that roller.
Yeah.
It was hard, cranky work.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, So I wonder why she lived till she was nearly 90 years old with no diseases. Huh. I wonder.
Or you look at cooking meals, too.
Oh,
what they would put in, and not just buying a pre-made meal and throwing it in the microwave.
So,
you know?
Right. It again, we talk about activity.
Yeah.
She'd stand at the sink, chop all the vegetables, do this stuff, and it would take her 45 minutes to an hour and 5 to prep it, and then another hour to clean it up.
Not to mention digging it from the garden first.
And she would do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it just lots of movement. Just to live was a lot of movement, right? So back in that day, where we didn't have all these conveniences to be able to do, and then, oh, I need to do this, jump in my car. I didn't have to walk to the store. I don't have to walk to the market, get on a bicycle and walk to the market. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to get on a horse, for heaven's sake, right, which actually induces postural movement, et cetera. Nothing. So this is where we consciously today have to choose to move, right, because the conveniences are a little bit inconvenient.
Too convenient.
That's
inconvenient,
great. They're a bit inconvenient for our health and our well-being and our longevity.
Yeah.
Right? So these studies really, really highlight that component of movement as being essential. It's one of the five pillars of health that we talk about in the office all the time is movement and activity. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of reasons why that happens, but it's absolutely essential. A pillar actually is something that holds it up, right? It's that thing that holds the roof of the structure completely up. And there's five of them. And this is one that's critical to making sure that we're doing it, right? So there's lots of different forms. There's lots of ways to do it. We've joked about that before, but we really don't have to focus on that, right? That's why I said keep it simple. We've joked a little bit before. I said, I don't care. You don't need spandex. I don't need a membership card. I don't need any of those things to move. If I just want to get on the street and walk, or I just want to get up and move more at the house, just get up and move more consciously when I get home from work, maybe not sitting down and watching a program, getting up and doing something for 30 minutes and making sure that I'm moving, right? We even have today, there's a local gentleman who's an accountant, friend of mine, and he's consciously, because he's an accountant, so he sits a lot, and he's actually changed that completely. His workstation is completely now standing. He still has a desk, but he has a workstation where he stands 5 to 6 hours a day and does his work standing so that he's not sitting all day long. He's actually up, and at least he's still at a computer. He's still typing, but he's standing and engaging his postural muscles, his leg muscles, so that at least he's up. We said movement of any kind.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he could put 5 hours of standing into his day without really having to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really simple ways to engage in this so we don't have to go nuts, and I don't have to go to Lululemon and spend $200 on a pair of stretch yoga pants. Oh, JW's giving me this look what's Lululemon?
Who's Lulu and what's she got to do with a lemon?
Lululemon is this yoga attire that literally $200 for a pair of stretch pants and $150 for a shirt. And it's crazy.
You look good doing it, right?
You look good doing it. Right? It's just insanity. But we don't have to do that stupidity in order to actually enjoy longevity and disease-free longevity. The choice is not quality or quantity. I want both, Dion.
Amen.
I want both. And that's what we can enjoy.
There it is.
There you have it. So if you want to hear any of these old episodes, et cetera, we've got them on the website at drterlep.com, D-R-T-E-R-L-E-P. They're there under 30 minutes to vitality. And you can get, there's blogs in there as well with all kinds of topics. And you can just look through and they're all labeled very easily. So anybody who wanted to say, I missed what he said or My wife says she doesn't care what I said. But beyond that, it's all good. It's all available.
And we'll see you next time, Doc, right here on your 30 Minutes of Vitality every Wednesday, 11:30 to 12.
Thanks so much.